Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridhas Maharaj ki, Goprema Nandi. Put that little microphone here. Okay, so what did we discuss in last night's class? First half of chapter 8, what was the subject last night? And what's the chapter called? Yeah, so the first part of the chapter is what? First 20 verses. The name-giving ceremony by? Gargamuni. And then, the second half of the chapter is the? Mother Yashoda seeing the universal form within the mouth of baby Krishna. So tonight, we'll finish the chapter. We'll go from verses 21 to 52. And we'll discuss the universal form being seen by Mother Yashoda. So, verse number 21. After a short time passed, both brothers, Rama and Krishna, began to crawl on the ground of Braj with the strength of their hands and knees and thus enjoy their childhood play. What of a bundle pool? You like to read them?
Of what? One Brahma, lotuses. Smriti Mahaprabhu is smriti. Vitare Bhagavan, Anya Bhagavanto. Power Vita. Aham Iha Nandam Bande, Tasya Inde Param Brahma. Let others fearing material existence worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas, and the Mahabharata. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard Supreme Brahma is calling for a highly exalted devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of the Supreme, appears no better than hell, Narakaya. But here one can simply think of the calling of Krishna and Balarama in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and always merge in transcendental happiness. As long as one is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna Leela, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes, as Parikshit Maharaj said to be, one is always merged in actual Kaivalya. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavata. Loka Sajantato, Vidvan Chakre Sattvada Samhita. Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavata under the instruction of Narada, so that anyone can take advantage of this literature. Think of Krishna's pastime and always liberated.
So what are the points here?
Kaivalya Narakaya is mentioned in a scripture by Chaitanya Chandramani. And it was, I think, written by, I forgot the name of the devotee, but he was the spiritual master of Gopal Bhatta Goswami.
Prabodhananda.
Moved from Sri Sampradaya to Gaudiya.
You what?
He moved from Sri Sampradaya. Originally he was inclined to Sri Sampradaya. And then he moved to Gaudiya Sampradaya. Like that. Hmm. And so he, over there it is mentioned that Kaivalya Narakaya appears no better than hell. Talking of Kaivalya, even in our temple, the same section was going on, I think last Saturday or Sunday. So, and incidentally, I was only giving class, Bhagavatam class in the morning. So, I made some notes on that Kaivalya, where Prabhupada writes that Kaivalya is not merging into the Lord, but Kaivalya actually is qualitative oneness with the Lord, that's one, but also having oneness of desire with the desire of the Lord. Everything for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, that is actually Kaivalya. And Kaivalya doesn't mean just merging.
Mm. Yeah, well, Kaivalya literally means pure, by definition. So it means something pure.
So not a near relation.
Yeah. So if you go in devotion, it means pure devotion. Kevala bhakti. Or Kaivalya means to merge into the Brahma Jyoti, or the spirit. So it can be according to how you see it. So we see in this verse that how to attain Krishna, we need to follow in the footsteps of Krishna's devotees. So this section of the Bhagavatam, it is explaining to us about the position of the bridge buses. So the bridge buses are Krishna's eternal family, his eternal friends. So in order to enter into Vrindavan, you have to follow the residents of Vrindavan. That is the basic premise. So one time Jamuna Devi, who is the famous disciple of Prabhupada, who passed away a few years ago, every morning we chant the Jamuna Lit. Yeah, you have to come earlier, you know. Don't. Yeah, I know you're saying Prabhupada. No, just listen. Don't come late, all right? Because it disturbs me. Right? And don't say okay, Prabhupada. Just come on time. It's nonsense. So Jamuna Devi, she chants the Govindam prayers every morning that we're hearing. So the Govindam prayers, Prabhupada said they should always be chanted. That's why every morning we play the Govindam prayers. So one time Jamuna, she asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when it says that we should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, in the nectar of instruction, what does that mean? Because she said, the Prabhupada, you are a resident of Vrindavan. So does it mean we follow you? And Prabhupada said, yes, that is correct. So if we follow Srila Prabhupada in terms of his mood, his mission in Krishna consciousness, then we will enter Goloka Vrindavan. So it means to follow the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada says the definition of Raganuga Bhakti is to always think of life in Vrindavan. So you think of the residents of Vrindavan, you think of the eternal associates, you think of Krishna's friends, the cows, like that. And by meditating on Vrindavan, you enter into the eternal lila. So here, this part of the Bhagavatam is teaching us to meditate on the residents of Vrindavan, their love for Krishna. So we'll see here the mood of Mother Yashoda. And by meditating on her mood, by imbibing her spirit, by imbibing her pure devotional attachment to Krishna, then we can also become a resident of Vrindavan. This is the process. So, Krishna's pastimes, this particular pastime that we're about to hear is an Aishwarya pastime. Because she looks into his mouth, Aishwarya Shakti takes over, and then she sees the whole universe. So this is Krishna's Aishwarya, which is a part of Krishna. But in Vrindavan, the Aishwarya is continuously overcome by Madhurya. But actually, Krishna's opulence, Aishwarya means opulence, Krishna shows more opulence in Vrindavan and in Vrindavan Lila than he does in any other pastime. So it is the most powerful of all of the pastimes. Because the supreme Aishwarya is shown, the supreme opulence is shown, but it is overcome by the most sweet display of Krishna's leelas and his pastimes, his childhood pastimes of Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Okay. Any points? Okay. After a short time passed, both brothers, already read that, when Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Braj by cow dung and cow urine. Their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. But when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and return to their real mothers, Yashoda and Rohini.
When Krishna and Balarama were calling about Rajabhumi, they were enchanted by the sounds of electric bells. Thus, they sometimes followed other people who would enjoy the calling of Krishna and Balaram and exclaim, "Oh, see how Krishna and Balarama are calling." Upon hearing this, Krishna and Balarama could understand that these were not their mothers they are following, and they would return to their actual mothers. Thus, the calling of Krishna and Balarama was enjoyed by the people of the neighborhood, as well as by Mother Yashoda and Govinda, and the two children themselves.
Hmm. So what are the points there?
Crawling past.
Yeah. Krishna's crawling. Any other point?
Whatever Krishna does, it's wonderful and gives pleasure to the descendants of Lord. Likewise.
Hmm. Yeah. So the Acharyas explain that Krishna is simultaneously Savagya and Muktata. So Savagya means all-knowing. He knows everything. But simultaneously is Muktata, which means he forgets everything. So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in order to enjoy his pastimes, he allows Yogamaya to cover him and his devotees so that they can reciprocate with natural love. Meaning that they can experience pure Madhurya Ras, pure Vatsalya Ras, pure Sakya Ras. So Krishna allows Yogamaya to cover everyone, including himself, so that he forgets. Because if he remembered that he was God, or remembered his potency, he could not experience these things. So he allows himself to be covered, so that when he is with the cows in his Balya Leela, in his Leela of being a young boy, he grabs onto the calves and they begin to drag him. And he feels frightened. So he has to actually experience this. Otherwise, there's no pleasure. You know, you're just acting, but you're not actually experiencing something. But then he actually experiences all these things. So that is the potency of Yogamaya. He allows it to cover him. So he becomes Muktata. Even though he's Savagya, simultaneously, by his expansions, Paramatma, he knows everything. But he himself allows himself, Muktata means covered, so he forgets. So he's both of these things simultaneously. Any points?
What is the word again? Muktata.
Muk. So M-U-K-H-A. Muktata. D-A-T-T-A. Muktata. You'll see in the commentaries or the chapter that they explain these things. He's both simultaneously. He knows everything, but then he forgets everything simultaneously. So it's like a chinchashakti, inconceivable that he knows everything but he forgets everything simultaneously. Anything else? Dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine, the babies look very beautiful. And when they went to their mothers, both Yashoda and Rohini picked them up with great affection, embraced them and allowed them to suck the milk flowing from their breasts. While sucking the breast, the babies smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. Sharada Radha, you'd like to read that? No, that's the verse. You need to read the purport.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. If you want to read the verse, you can read the verse.
Sorry.
As you want.
As the mothers cared for their respective babies, by the element of your maya, the babies thought, "Here is my mother." And the mothers thought, "Here is my son." Because of affection, much naturally flowed from the mother's breast. And the babies drank it. When the mothers saw small teeth coming in, they would count them and be happy. And then the babies saw their mothers allowing them to drink their breast. Yeah. The babies also felt transcendental pleasure. as this transcendental affection continues between Rohini and Balaram and Yashoda and Krishna, they all enjoy transcendental bliss.
Hmm. What are the points there?
So they are all in the transcendental world. Enjoying each other.
Yeah. Anything else?
We like going to the transcendental world.
Yeah, you have to become serious. Give up your material desires and attachments. Even to the boxing. Anything else?
Yeah, so this is, once again, the arrangement of Yoga Maya. So Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, they are seeing Krishna and Balaram just as ordinary boys. And they're feeling overwhelmed with motherly love towards their babies. So they do not understand what is about to take place, that Krishna will show his supreme nature. So simultaneously, while he's playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, this is the Supreme Lord. He shows in a moment, in a few moments, he'll show that the entire universe is inside of his belly. She looks down and she sees inside of him everything. So this little boy is everything. He says in the Gita that everything is in me. So everything in entirety. So that is his all-powerful nature. This is the Supreme Lord. He's just like a little cowherd boy, just playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So because of Yoga Maya, they are all covered. And they don't remember his supreme nature. And you'll see, even when Yashoda sees it, she sees it, but then a moment later she just forgets it. That's how powerful her prema or her love for Krishna is. Any point? Within the house of Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd ladies would enjoy seeing the pastimes of the babies, Rama and Krishna. The babies would catch the end of the calves' tails and the calves would drag them here and there. And the ladies saw these when the ladies saw these pastimes, they certainly stopped their household activities and laughed and enjoyed the incidents. So this is how, in the past, this is how people received pleasure. These days, people are overstimulated. And they need artificial things to give them pleasure. And that's why they're not actually happy. These days, everyone needs Xbox and DVDs and MP3s and so many things just to overstimulate you. And these days all the kids say, oh, that's boring, that's boring, that's boring. Like that. But back in the old days, how did they enjoy themselves? You just go out in the cow dung, in the cow urine, you grab onto the cows and you go around. Right? And what was the result? People were happy. These days you give people all these things and they're not happy. All the kids say, oh, it's boring, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do. Everyone just lives in a box in the city with some plastic toys. The kids need to be outside running around, playing in the gardens, right, and enjoying themselves with the animals. Actually, animals are very good for the children. You see all the kids on the weekend, they're down at the retreat. They all love Bhima, the dog. You know, everyone gets out of the car, they say, where's Bhima? Don't worry about Keshava or Mani Griva. Everyone gets out, they say, where's Bhima? And they actually, I've seen on some documentary recently, children are getting more and more autism. You know, autism. It's becoming more and more prominent now. They say it could be related to the vaccines. You know, they make the kids have the needles. They say that could be what it's connected to, is it's rising rapidly. 10 times more than 10 years ago, children are having this. So one very interesting documentary I saw, they put the children on horses. They take them to riding schools. And as soon as autistic children get on horses, their autism begins to disappear. They can speak and they can move naturally. But when they get off the horse, right, the autism comes back. And they move strongly when they speak. But on the horse, they become very, because autistic kids are very overstimulated. But when they're on the horse, they're very calm. Because the horse is like a mystical animal, came from the ocean of milk. And animals have very powerful effect. So we're meant to be living out in the countryside with animals and plants and bananas, you know, depending on which country you come from. So these things, these are the natural opulence, they have very positive effect, powerful effect on the human beings. But when you live in the cities, it has a different effect. So here, in the old days, Krishna and Balaram just enjoyed. I mean, this is God. You don't read in the Bhagavad Gita, oh, God is playing on the Xbox, you know, or he's got his MP3 in his ears all the time. He's walking around Vrindavan listening to the music. You know, Mother Yashoda says, hey, Gopal! And Gopal's like, you know, listening to the music in his ears, you know. He's not doing like that. Well, these days you speak to the kids don't even listen to you. They say, hey, Gopal! And he's got the thing and they don't even listen, or they're in their rooms. You know, one devotee in Sydney told me that the only way he can speak to his daughter, he has to send her an email. She lives in the next room. He sends an email to her and then she responds back to him. So, you see, Krishna is showing a natural example, how to live naturally. When Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs and cats, and by thorns, swords and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. O King Parikshit, within a very short time, both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokul on their legs, by their own strength, without the need to crawl. So, they begin to walk around. And it describes, as they're walking around, they're very restless. They're always looking for cows to grab onto. They're like the young children, but they're extremely... Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the Sanskrit describes them as bold. So they're like young kids, but they like to have a lot of fun. Just like the kids were at the farm on the weekend for the retreat. And Mani Griva said he was riding around in the ute, and they were all sitting in the back of the ute, and he took them down to the hay shed. Said they're all climbing up. He's saying, hey, get down, get down. So the kids are like Krishna, they're very bold. You know, they like to climb on the roof and have fun and all do that. So Krishna was like that. You know, always climbing everything, always running everywhere, grabbing onto the cows. You couldn't control him, basically, practically. So you see, kids are like that. We were also like that when we were young. Very bold, you know, always. When I grew up, they were always building houses around our neighborhood. So we used to go every night after school, we used to climb up on the roofs of all the houses they were building, and, you know, just we'd play and climb, and our mothers would come and say, hey, get down, get down. Like that, and then as soon as they go away, we get back up again. So Krishna's like that, a very bold personality. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the Sanskrit describes him as being extremely bold. Why is he like this? Because he likes to churn rasa. He's not a stagnant personality or a boring personality. He likes to always have adventure and make everything. You see all through the 10th canto, he just makes everything. He heightens the enjoyment to the extreme levels. He like with Trinavarta came. So he wanted to go up into the air. Mother Yashoda was throwing him up in the air and catching him. He said, this is not high enough. So then the demon came and took him right up miles into the air. And he said, okay, this is enjoyable. So he likes to enjoy everything to the highest degree. Thereafter, Lord Krishna, along with Balaram, began to play with the other children of the cowherd men, thus awakening the transcendental bliss of the cowherd women. So we'll read the purport. Yogi, you want to read?
The word Saharama means along with Balaram. See if you can read this verse. such countries, the pastimes, Krishna is the chief hero, and Balaram provides additional help.
Mm. So any points there?
So it describes in Vrindavan, there's one river that goes through the land of Vrindavan. What is that river called? Jamuna. Mm-hmm. Now, on the west side of the Jamuna, you have seven forests, such as Talavan, Madhuban, Vrindavan, like that. You have all these different forests on the west side. So it says on the west side, this is where Krishna, he is the more prominent hero on the western side of Vrindavan. So when we go to Vrindavan, the side that the town we call Vrindavan, that's on that western side of the Jamuna. But on the eastern side of the Jamuna, you have other forests. And it says on that side, then Balaram is the main hero. So you see the pastimes of Balaram, they are more on the eastern side of the Jamuna. And on the western side, Krishna's pastimes are more prominent. And Balaram, he takes a supportive role. But on the other side, then Balaram, his pastimes become more prominent. He does his rasa lila and the other pastimes on the other side.
So there are 14 forests,
12 main forests.
So 7 and 5.
7 and 5. If you get 7 plus 5, that is 12. Okay, is that right? So 12 main forests, and then inside the main forest, I think each forest has 12 other forests. There's about 144 sub-forests, something like that. Okay. On your exam, you'll need to know the 144. Observing the very attractive, childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities again and again, would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows. So what did they do in the spiritual world? What's everyone doing up there?
Having fun.
Having fun, yes. But what are they, what's being described in this verse? What is everyone doing in the spiritual world? Yeah, they discuss about Krishna. Krishna says himself in the Gita, if you talk about him, it is Tushanticha, Ramanticha. Tushta means satisfying. And Ramanti, Rama means gives you pleasure. So it is satisfying, it gives pleasure. So in the spiritual world, that's what they do. What's Krishna doing now? Hey, Mother Yashoda, have you heard what he's doing? And Mother says, what is he doing? And then all day they're just speaking like this. What's he up to now? And we'll read actually the next few verses. Very funny. Some of the things that he's doing. He's a very bold personality. And he stimulates rasa continuously. Very hard to control this person. Our dear friend, Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he derives some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them, and when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. So, it is described that he goes into the houses, and his mother and father are the wealthiest people in the village. They're the king of the village. Nanda Maharaj, his family are Kshatriyas. But then he married a Vaishya girl. His father married a Vaishya girl, and then he was born in the Vaishya family. But if you go back, he's part of the Yadu dynasty. So they're very wealthy, very prominent, very powerful. So they have great wealth. So Krishna doesn't need to steal anything. Right? Because everything, he has everything in his house. They're extremely wealthy. But still, he has. It's more fun to take something which doesn't belong to you. Ends up, if you like, stealing things. Right? One honest person. But there's something palatable, something enjoyable. Just like I was at the retreat Sunday night, we were cleaning up, and then we lifted up someone left a plate, and my daughter was helping me, and we lifted up the lid on the plate, and it was like, remember they made that baklava the other day? Everyone was saying, oh, Sunday. So I lifted up, someone stashed like a whole plate, you know, baklava like that. So I lifted up like that. So my daughter said, oh, that was really nice. Like that. I said, well, then take it. And she said, no, it belongs to someone else. They left it here. But I said, it says in the scripture, if you steal Mahaprasad, there's no reaction. So I said, just take it. She said, really? She said, we can't do that. I said, yeah, it tastes better when you steal it. You know, if they were silly enough to leave the whole thing there, then if you take it, you know, it's very noble if you leave it for them, that's very good. But if you take it, that's also very good. So she left it because she was a good girl. Like that. But I said, if you want to take it, you can take it. Like that. So there's something pleasurable in stealing. You know, it's always nice. I remember Jitendra and I, we lived in the Brahmachari ashram for years, and Jitendra always makes stashes. Right? Always stashing prasadam. So I used to always go into the Brahmachari ashram and take his stashes. And then you'd hear him coming and start yelling. You know? Who's been taking? You know, where's Keshava? You know, that. Who's taking it? I told you, you know, don't take this for my mother. For my mother, don't take it, you know. But it's much more relishable. You know, I used to like hearing him come in and start yelling. And, you know, it's much more pleasant, you know that he didn't like it. Right. So even Janmashtami, you know, every year, Prabhupada's feast, you know, they always make gulab jamuns for Prabhupada's feast. So when I'm walking to the tent to get prasadam and devotees are walking past the plates, I always take the gulab jamuns off their plate and just eat that. It tastes much better when you get it from their plate. You know, the devotees are like, hey, you know, I wanted that. And they have to get back in line. You know, it's much more. So Krishna's like that. So he has everything in his house, but it's much better when he goes to everyone else's house. So he goes in there, he has a whole plan on how to steal everything, he steals it, and then he gets away, and then they know it's him, and then they accuse him. Or sometimes they catch him, and then, while he's there, he just looks at them and he smiles, and it says that his smile is so attractive, he bewilders them, and he sits there right in front of them, and eats it all in front of them. And they can't even say anything, because they're just so captivated by him. And then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in the commentary, he says sometimes he goes in, there's no yogurt or whatever he's looking for in the house. And then they catch him and say, hey, what are you doing? And he turns around and he says, why are you yelling at me? And they say, because you're stealing. And he said, there's nothing to steal, you don't have anything. And he says, by the way, I'm going to go now, and tomorrow I'm going to come back, and if there's no yogurt here, I'm going to burn your house down. He actually says these things. Right? This is the person you worship. This is the person you bow down to every day. Do your, you know. This is the guy. So we worship this guy. He's very, you know, he's very, I was reading today, I was just laughing. Now, I'll come and burn your house down. He says to him. They run in sometimes, he's eating the yogurt, and they run in with a stick, and they say, hey, Chora! Like this. And he turns and he says, you're the chore. Right? You are the chore. Like that. You know, they go to him and say, you are the chore. Like that. And he smashes it and he runs out. And then they go and tell Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda just smiles. Right? And she says to him, he says, do you do this? And he's like, you know. Sometimes he says, I wasn't even there. Yeah, I was somewhere else. So he knows they've been doing it. So this is Krishna. So he just churns the rust. This is where the pleasure comes from.
Guru, you are quite pretty good.
What is that?
You are quite fit to go back there. You are quite fit to go back there.
No, to go back to the spiritual world, you have to give up lust, greed, anger.
No, but he will make it perfect.
I hope so. Yeah. When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing hanging from the ceiling and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of a pot, they pick holes in it. When the elderly gopis go about their household affairs, Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with their valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies and taking advantage of this light by stealing. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief," sometimes being angry. Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in their house. I mean, can you imagine this? one of your friend's kids. Yeah, you come into the kitchen, he's passed water all over the floor. He says, "Hey, what are you doing?" Yeah, but he does this. And then he laughs at them and then he runs out. But now, our dear friend, Yashoda, this expert thief, is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her beloved, transcendental child. One day while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the gopis, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. "Mother," they submitted, "Krishna has eaten earth." Jagannath Ram, you have to read that.
"Here is another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the gopis. First, a complaint was lodged with Mother Yashoda about Krishna's stealing, but Mother Yashoda did not chastise them. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yashoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented, that Krishna had eaten earth."
So, what is taking place? Did he eat earth or did he not?
Both.
Means?
He's within everything and he's without
it. He did eat it.
Yeah, so he ate the earth. Why did he eat the earth? Because he wanted to create this pastime with his mother. Because he knew his friends would go, they would tell he's eating the earth, and then she becomes angry with him. She says, "Look into his mouth," and all this pastime took place. So he is stimulating the pastime, he's churning the rasa. He wants everything to be nectarian for everyone. And there's certain things that he wants to establish. So he's establishing to us that he is supreme. That the whole universe is within him. But what is more important, even though the whole universe is within him, the Brijbasis simply see him in terms of their prema. They don't become distracted by his show of opulence. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows. "Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this?" So So the acharyas, they explain that Krishna is doing this because he wants to show, or wants Mother Yashoda to experience the rasa of astonishment, which is called in Sanskrit, does anyone know? Adbhut, yeah. Particularly it is called? Yeah, it's called, actually I can't read what I've written, because I've written it too small. It's something Maya, Vimaya Ras, like that. But it means, it's one of the seven minor rasas, the five major rasas, and then the seven minor rasas. And one of the seven minor rasas is called astonishment. So in order to feed this rasa of astonishment, then Krishna is eating the earth, Mother Yashoda will look into his mouth, and then, I mean, can you imagine? You look into someone's mouth, and then you see like the whole universe in their mouth. Right? So you would just be completely astonished. So Mother Yashoda, you wanted to develop this rasa. Upon hearing, we read that, right? Which verse?
35.
35. Lord Sri Krishna replied, "My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it." Mother Yashoda challenged Krishna, "If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide." When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed. For Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. So, Meenakshi, you want to read them?
Similarly, although Krishna was full of opulences, now by the order of Mother Yashoda, he opened wide his mouth like a woman child and didn't neglect the transcendental humor of material affection.
So what are the points there? So Krishna's, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti acted of its own accord. Krishna did not invoke it or did not think. But she looked into his mouth. And in Vrindavan, Krishna's Aishwarya cannot very easily manifest because it is always covered by madhurya, sweetness. But the Aishwarya Shakti wants to serve Krishna. The Aishwarya wants to manifest. But there's no opportunity. But then the Aishwarya Shakti saw this opportunity. Krishna is about to get in trouble because he will open his mouth, she will see there's dirt there, she will get very upset. So he thought, let me save Krishna. Let me do... excuse me. Let me do some service so that Krishna does not become... disturbed by Mother Yashoda. So, to save Krishna, Aishwarya Shakti, immediately, as soon as Krishna opened his mouth, Aishwarya Shakti appeared within his mouth and then manifested everything. So she looked in and then... So he was saved. So this is the service that the different Shaktis or the different potencies of Krishna, they want to render service to him. So in this case, the Aishwarya Shakti was able to serve, which is difficult. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in Vrindavan, there's not so much opportunity. So, any points? Okay. Which verse are we on? 37. When Krishna opened his mouth wide by the order of Mother Yashoda, she saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space, and all directions. Along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing wind, fire, the moon, and the stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky, and creation by transformation of Ahankara. She also saw the senses, the mind, sense perception, and the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for the living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw desires and different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation, along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. So the Acharyas point out that she is overwhelmed by this particular rasa, which is called astonishment. Sanskrit, I can't read what it is there. But basically it is one of the seven minor rasas. So she is enjoying that rasa. Just like Bano Swami was explaining that there are the Stahibhavs. Stahibhavs means the five principal rasas. So in the five principal rasas, in the spiritual world, this is where people get their main pleasure. Mother Yashoda gets her main pleasure because she's Krishna's mother, Vatsalya Bhav or Vatsalya Ras. But the seven minor rasas, they nourish or increase these. So, you know, when she sees this universal form, the astonishment then becomes covered, and then she thinks, oh, this is just my son. Maybe he is as good as Narayan, but he is my son. So it increases the feeling or the rasa. Whereas in the material world, Bhagavad Swami is explaining, when you go to the movies, Bollywood or Hollywood, it is the seven minor rasas which are emphasized. In the material world, the five principal rasas, they're less emphasized. It's more people like to go and see ghastliness or astonishment. They like to see horror movies. They like to see all these things. The minor rasas, because the main rasas in the material world, because we're selfish, we're not so much into giving. So we need, like, if you go to the movies these days, it's more about action and excitement and ghastliness and extraordinary activities, more than just, if you just have a relationship between people, two people, that may not be as popular. But in the spiritual world, is that the relationship is the main thing, and these other things, they stimulate or they accentuate that rasa. What's that? In the spiritual world? In Vrindavan, the main three. Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. They're the main rasas.
There's a word called kotam.
A world?
The astonishment is a
kotam. Okay. Yeah, the rasa.
Yeah, I've written it. I wrote it very small. I can't even see my writing now. Something Maya. It starts with V. Yeah, rasa. Astonishment.
It's a particular one of the seven Maya rasas.
Which is there.
Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself, is this a dream or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence or is it some mystic power of my child?
So we'll read the purport. Yogi, you like to read?
When Yashoda saw the wonderful manifestation within the mouth of her child, she began to argue within herself about whether it was a dream. Then she considered, I'm not dreaming, my eyes are open. I'm actually seeing what is happening. I'm not sleeping, nor am I dreaming. Therefore, maybe this is an illusion created by the Devamaya. But that is also not possible. What business would the demigods have showing such things to me? I'm an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me into Deva Maya? That also is not possible. Then Mother Yashoda considered whether this vision might be due to bewilderment. I'm fit in health, and I'm not diseased. Why should there be any bewilderment? It is not possible that my brain is deranged, since I am ordinarily quite fit to think. Then her vision must be due to some mystic power of my son and predicted by Garbhagun. And she finally concluded that the vision was due to her son's activities and nothing else.
Mm. So what are the points there?
Amazing how the mind starts thinking so many different things, I mean on a gentle level. But at the transcendental level, even Mother Yashoda is sort of bewildered. So much so that, she has to start thinking, going back to the basics, what she was told in the predictive. So.
Hmm. Anything else?
Curious, but at the end, he put her in there.
So it is being described here that he has been already told early in the chapter when we discussed last night. Gargamuni said that this child is just like Narayan. So because the child is just like Narayan, she's completely bewildered. She thinks, is he doing this? Is he so powerful that he's actually showing me how powerful he is? But he's just my son. So she's just astonished. It's like bewildered. How can my son be this powerful? Gargamuni has said he is this powerful, but I cannot believe because he's just my son. So she's completely, at this point in time, she's bewildered. She looks in his belly, sees all these things. Her mind is just spinning. We can't imagine what it must be like for her to see Krishna like this, but then it's like complete bewilderment. Same as Arjuna had on the battlefield. Maybe even more intense. Arjuna also had the same experience. Saw everything. And then he's just, what is this? So, any point? Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for he is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. So she is thinking, as a pious person, Prabhupada points this out, a pious person always looks to God. When something is happening which is beyond our control, then we automatically say, hey Krishna. So Mother Yashoda, she is thinking for a moment, maybe he is doing this himself. But then she thinks, no, it must be God is doing this. So then she automatically calls out, please protect the child. And it is said in the previous chapter that she's also thinking, she looks into the mouth and she sees the universal form. And she thinks, oh, maybe some Buddha is attacking him, or some mystical creature or some demon or something like that. So she gets bewildered. So she's not sure why this is taking place. So she, at this point in time, she's just completely bewildered by everything. Is it God? Is he not God? What's going on? Krishna's just doing this to intensify the experience. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband and that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for
her son.
So, in the purport, Vishnachakravarti points out that who is the supreme potency, or what is the supreme potency within Vrindavan? Yeah, it is Yogamaya. It is Krishna's pastime Leela potency. She orchestrates everything for one reason. Why does Yogamaya cover Krishna and also the devotees? To increase Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna will be happy. So Krishna will have unlimited happiness or joy or rasa or ananda. He gets unlimited bliss because she covers him. Krishna allows Yogamaya to cover him and all the devotees just so that they can all experience the topmost pleasure. Otherwise, Krishna cannot experience pleasure. So what is Krishna controlled by? In Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says bhakti has six qualities. And in Prema Bhakti, there is Sandra Nanda, Visheshatma, and Sri Krishna Kashani. So what does Sri Krishna Kashani mean?
The power to attract.
Yeah, Karshan. So this word Krishna comes from Karshan. Karshan means like to attract or control forcibly, like to grab something. Like, hey, come here. You grab something and say, hey, do this. Like that. So that's what Krishna is like. He's like, get you, and he goes, come here. So Krishna is so overwhelmingly powerful. So prema is the quality which controls even Krishna. So Mother Yashoda, he shows, or he's Shakti actually, he just opens his mouth, he's scared because he's in Yogamaya himself. She's about to see the dirt in his mouth. He opens his mouth and then his Shakti manifests and shows the universal form. Krishna, and then Mother Yashoda, she becomes bewildered. And then Krishna sees her. And then he thinks for a minute, well, if she's like this, she's not going to look after me. You know, if she just thinks, well, you know, she's just like bewildered. So then, seeing his desire, the Mother Yashoda love him, then Yogamaya covers her. And then she just sees him as my boy, and she thinks I must have been dreaming something, and then she just goes back into the pastimes again. So prema is supreme. Because prema controls Krishna, and Krishna's prema controls Krishna's devotees. So prema, because prayojana means the essence or the goal. And what is the goal? That is prema. Krishna sambandha, bhakti abhideya, prema prayojana. Lord Chaitanya says, prema is the prayojana, the goal. Why is it the goal? Because it controls Krishna, it controls the devotee. So everything is about prema. Developing prema, love for Krishna. Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. We just read that off. Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature. Yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person, her ordinary child. So it's interesting. Verse 45 we just read. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur calls this particular verse a Paribhasa Sutra. What is a Paribhasa Sutra? An emperor verse, yeah. Or he defines it as a verse which illuminates all the other verses in the section or in the scripture. So if you analyze this one verse, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature, yet Mother Yashoda considered the Supreme Person her ordinary child. So that's a Paribhasa Sutra. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says this is actually the essence of this entire section of the Bhagavatam. Right? He is God, but she does not see him as God. She sees him as her son. She has Vatsalya Bhav to the highest degree. Of all the devotees in Vatsalya Bhav, Mother Yashoda is the topmost. Just like in Madhurya Ras, the highest devotee is Radharani. And in Sakya Ras, the highest devotee is Subal. And in Vatsalya Ras, Mother Yashoda. So she is showing the topmost love for Krishna. So this verse shows the essence. Krishna is God, but she does not see that. That's how powerful her love is. If you understand this, you understand everything. You don't have to do the exam if you understand this. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadev Goswami, O learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? So he asks this question. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, so Mother Yashoda, who was she previously? So Shukadev Goswami, the Acharyas say, he answers in a very, how do they say it? Almost like a disinterested way. Because he's like, Shukadev Goswami is, they're the eternal parents of Krishna. We're asking, or it's being asked, who were they previously? And always been Mother Yashoda. Like that. So when he begins to tell that they were Drona and Dara. But this Drona and Dara, they are sadhakas who merge into the original Yashoda and Nanda. They're not the eternal personalities. So. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudev and Devaki. Shukadev Goswami said, to follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to the Lord Brahma in this way. Drona and Dara said, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets, will also appear and spread devotional service, the ultimate goal of life, so that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. When Brahma said, yes, let it be so, the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Brajapura, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj and his wife Dara appeared as Mother Yashoda. Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving, devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Thus the Supreme Personality, Krishna, along with Balaram, lives in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and other inhabitants of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada points out that we cannot become Nanda and Yashoda, but we can become their followers. What is this called? Raganuga Bhakti. No? Hands up if you're practicing Raganuga Bhakti. Or you're practicing Sadhana Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti means the rules and regulations. Raganuga means you're still following the rules and regulations, but in your heart, you want to follow the residents of Vrindavan. So everything's the same. You go to Mangalati, you chant your rounds, you see Radha Ballabha. But when you become a Raganuga Bhakta, all the devotees are in the temple of Mangalati and Jamashtami, the temple room is full. But some of the devotees may be Raganuga Bhaktas, which means in their heart they want to follow the residents of Vrindavan. So their mood is deeper. So in order to get to that stage, we have to follow Vaidhi Bhakti very carefully. Or that you have to go to Mangalati, chant your rounds nicely, worship the deities nicely, and then hear the Bhagavatam and associate with the devotees. Then gradually, these feelings will come. And then you'll still do all the same things that you've been doing for years and years and years, but your internal mood will change. And you'll have a deep desire. Lopa means greed to follow the residents of Vrindavan. That's Raganuga Bhakti. So that's what's being described here. We should also develop that desire. Srila Prabhupada ki? So next Monday night, what will we do? We will have an overview of the first 8 chapters next Monday. And then the following Monday we will have the closed book exam, and your open book exams and oral presentations are also due. So 2 weeks you have to finish your open book essays, your oral presentations, and... Yes, sir.
Can you do a recap on Tuesday instead of Monday, if it's not inconvenient for others?
Why?
Because I can't come and I want to be for
that. Are you sure you can't come?
I can't come. Then I have to drop a detailed description.
Okay. Oh, so we'll do it on Tuesday. That's okay. That's okay. But we have to tell Sri Chaitanya because you have to send emails to everyone. So you have to take responsibility. So contact him tonight, because I told everyone last night it was Monday. Okay. So then contact everyone, tell them, then next Tuesday we'll do the overview of the chapter. So then, you have the contact.
Next Tuesday night, key.